We're lesson 85 in the book of Ephesians, and we're chapter 6, starting with verse 10. And we got down to verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high place. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now this is the conclusion of the book of Ephesians. And Paul comes down to the last section. He says, finally, who? My brethren. And these are closing thoughts that Paul has put together in this thing. And when you come to the end of the book, you wonder what he's going to say next, because what has he been talking about? You know, in the section that he adds about fighting, and it's not exactly what you expect after we've been dealing with some things about the family and the home and the social life. Sometimes when you get involved with social life out there, you expect to fight, don't you? You expect to stand in some things.
What chapter and verse?
We're in chapter 6. Verse 10, what we just read. And we had studied the believer's wealth in chapters 1 through 3. Ephesians 1 through 3, if you remember that, that's your wealth. And we have studied the believer's walk in the world, and now we're going to study the believer's warfare. You know, how you're going to stand and how you're going to fight. And, you know, literally, are you and I seated in heavenly places right now? Yes. Literally.
Literally, no.
No. Positionally, where are you?
In heavenly.
Literally, you're sitting right here. You're in a nasty now. We're still on this earth. And we are not literally in the positions up there that we have in Christ yet. But if you notice what we've been studying in Ephesians, he's actually telling us this is where you're at. You know something about the book of Ephesians that we've been studying? He don't go back over and hash out, are you saved or lost? You notice that? He assumes that you already know that from the book of Romans. And now in Ephesians 1 through 3, we learned, chapters 1 through 3, we learned that God's purpose in forming the body of Christ and his purpose that he has for the body of Christ. Why didn't he form the nation Israel? Well, he did form a nation Israel, right? But now we know through some mystery programs of Revelations according to Jesus Christ according to mystery, that is something different and something that you need to know why God is forming the body of Christ. That he is ahead of a body and your members in particular. I challenge everybody in the past and I challenge everybody now. You will not find that in the Old Testament books, including Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You will not find that back there. About Jesus Christ being ahead, you find him as being what? A king and of a kingdom. And he's going to reconcile the heavenly places with the body of Christ. He's going to take those principalities and powers and high places, and he's going to put them back under the headship of Jesus Christ through the instrumentality of the body of Christ. Okay? That's what he's doing today. And it's a tremendous purpose that he has to manifest himself throughout the whole universe, and it's through the body of Christ. It's actually through you and I, members of the body of Christ, that God is going to exhibit and shine in the heavenly places. Isn't that awesome? Mm-hmm. To me it is, because in the beginning God created what?
Heaven. Heaven.
Not the heavens and the earth. Heaven and earth. God made a distinction in time past right off the bat. The heavens come along in chapter 2. But in the beginning he created heaven and earth. And when it's all said and done, he takes heaven and earth and puts it back under the headship of Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ is going to be head of the heaven, principality and power. He's going to be head of the earth, principality and powers. You know what government structure is. You know what the earth is supposed to be, a mirror image of what's in heaven. Okay? And if it's a mirror image, there's principalities and powers and governments up there, it's exactly what's going on down here. With me? And we know how the government system works today, right? All for the glory of God, right? No. You as members of the body of Christ should be acting as glory members of God. And the whole universe through the body of Christ. And this example, what God is doing through Paul, has shocked and has made Satan very angry, guys. That's why, when you cross over from death to life, and you trust that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, plus nothing else, there's a battle going on, right? You know, we say, welcome to the body of Christ, right? Praise God, hallelujah. But I always tell people, the battle's just now starting. Because when you get in the Word of God and you start rightly dividing the Word of God as this dispensation is supposed to do, that's where the warfare is going to come. That's where you're going to start drawing lines. Well, God's already drawn lines. We'll see that in a little bit. You just need to know which side you're on. You know, are you on God's side or are you on Satan's side? Are you on God's side or are you on your side? Or you can't straddle it. That's what fence walkers do. You know, that type of thing. And if you try to please people in doing so, you're just making yourself ineffective, void. So if you want to make Satan mad, get in this message and stand for the dispensational truth. And that's really making him mad. And it'll start affecting your mind. It'll start affecting which side, word I yield my members to. Listen, we've lost a lot of family members due to this message. That they don't want to talk to us about the Bible no more. They don't even want to know who Jesus Christ is, but yet they say they're saved. You know what I mean? So what do? I keep pressing towards the mark, because I tell you, I can find somebody as dumb as I was to teach us to, or ignorant. You know what I mean? You go after some people. See, many of us sometimes when we get saved and we get studying this word, we want to rescue the people out of the religious system. And that's fine and dandy. But there's some Joes out here and Billies and Bobs out here. They're lost and never heard of where Jesus Christ was. And if you go to them and teach them that they can be saved by the grace of God, they're going to trust that without the religious system. So Satan is very cunning and very crafty and an experienced warrior. And he is bent on the defeat of God's purpose in the body of Christ. He knows his day's coming, guys. By the prophetic program. He had no problem with letting Jesus Christ be king. You remember when he took the Lord Jesus up on the pinnacle and offered him the kingdoms of the world? Now how does Satan do that? How can Satan tell the Lord Jesus Christ, if you bow down before me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world? And showed it to him.
Because Adam handed them to him.
He had the deed of the earth. And I know if's a big question. But if the Lord did that, Satan still had the heavenly program. Mm-hmm. He still had the... there's three heavens. First, second, third. Paul said there's three heavens. Okay? The blue sky's one, where the stars are two, and where God sits three. And the first and second heaven, Satan is ruling and reigning over that. He's convinced one third of the angelic beings to follow him. You didn't think he would bother you? You don't think he can convince you to do things? He very well could. And you can convince yourself. So God has declared his purpose and revealed all his wisdom. And Satan has dug his heels in with this message of grace. And you remember, who's the counterfeiter of God?
Satan.
Who wants to be like God?
Satan.
So you got to remember, he can counterfeit God. He can convince you that he's God. He can convince you that he's doing things. He can convince you that things are going on, that you think God Almighty's doing it and Satan's doing it. Or you can convince yourself he's doing it. There's a real battle here. And when you get down to verse 12, he's going to study out some ramification of the angelic conflict. But you just need to understand it, that Satan is deathly and very angry, opposed to the church, the body of Christ, and what he's doing today. Now, we was talking about dispensationalism a little while ago, and everybody is a dispensationalist to one degree or the other. The people in Acts chapter 2 that believes the body of Christ and the church started in Acts chapter 2, they're dispensationalists. They would look at you as a mid-Acts guy as ultra or hyper. And then the Acts 28 guy is very hyper or ultra, you know. But everybody's a dispensationist one degree or the other. When you dispense things Now, we always use the fact that you've got a spoon drawer, you got a tray, knives, forks, spoons, right? Mm-hmm. You don't put your spoons in the knives and vice versa. You put them in an order where they belong. You read your newspaper dispensationally. You don't go to sports to read about obituaries. I know people do that for the Cleveland Browns, but that's just that's going to be over soon, guys.
Straight to the funnies.
There you go. But Paul ends this book after he describes God's program for the ages to come, and he's going to reconcile all the positions of rank and authority in heavenly places under the headship of Jesus Christ through the body of Christ, not through the nation Israel. We got people out there today wants to make you part of the nation Israel and wants God to bless nation Israel on this earth, and by doing so, you become a spiritual Jew. There's no such thing today, guys. When you spiritualize with spiritual eyes, you'll tell what? Spiritual lies. And that's what's being done over and over and over. So, the headship there. He's going to reconcile the universe back to himself through the body of Christ. Having made all clear, having demonstrated in chapters 4 through 6, that's the ultimate purpose that he has out there that is manifested today. The church, the body of Christ, what we're doing, he concludes the book with a great military passage on warfare of the believer. And you need to remember that you are in a war. It's a battle out there. It's a battle for our youth from the time they're born. You know, just life in general is a battle, aren't they? You know, but now you're going to add dispensational truths on top of that. That's why a lot of people says, I'm going back to believe whatever I want to. This is too much work. Yeah. You know, I was better off over there sitting on my hands and not studying my Bible and believing whatever the preacher believes. You know, there's churches full of that today. You know, and I say shame on you. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 2 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of what?
Faith.
Faith. There's a fight to regard to faith. You have to stand for faith. And you're going to walk by faith, you will need to what? Fight. Now, we walk by faith, not by
sight.
You know, there's a reason for that. Who walked by sight in times past? Some of us are still walking by sight when it comes to the scriptures. If we don't see it, we don't believe it. But God said, walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things what? Not seen. If you can see it, it's no longer faith. With me? So Israel's program walked by sight. If God, pillar smoke, pillar fire, Moses stuck his hands in there, came out like a leopard, stuck back in there, a little baby. Throw the staff down, turn into snakes, pop back up. That's the first two signs in the Bible. And when Israel saw that, God's with us. And if they didn't see that all through their program, nothing. That's why if you think about it, 400 years of silence from between Malachi and John the Baptist, there's a lot of this stuff going on. But God didn't approve of it. And then when John the Baptist shows up like a weed in the wilderness, you know, and it was camel eating honey and locusts and pointing out there, you know, that type of thing, they're like, who's this guy? You know, but if you study your Bible, you know exactly who it was. It says chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him that have what? Chosen him to be a soldier. Notice, you are a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and you have been chosen to be a what? Hey, many of you was in a time era of a draft in the military, right? And you had a number. I think they gave them to everybody, didn't they?
Yes.
Okay. You Dan just quoted his. He knows it like his birth record, you know? It was a big deal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know? And if they pulled that number, 250 what?
Mine was 257.
250. When they pulled that number, okay.
I didn't get drafted.
Well, but anyway, if they pulled that number, guess what they did? They chose that number. So I'm thinking of priority of being drafted into a service. When God chose you to be a good soldier, you're actually being drafted into His army. And a lot of people say, no, I'm not doing no military. I'm conscientious objector and all that stuff. I'm like, well, wait a minute now. This is a serious military institution right here. This is the real battle between life and death. So when you're chosen to be a soldier, you are warring. No man warreth entangled himself with affairs of what? What life is that? Yeah, the world, now and now. You know, the world. Why are you entangling ourselves in this stuff? Why are we warring? We don't war against each other. But flesh and blood we war against, right? So there is a war that's going on, guys. And he concludes in Ephesians with a passage on the whole armor of God. Doctrinally, you can go back to Ephesians. Doctrinal armor for our soul that is ours to put on, based on the experience that you have in your daily practice in the Word of God, rightly divided. Now, if you're new to this message and you just got saved, you know, it's going to be hard to understand, man, I'm going to have to put the shield on. I'm going to put a helmet on. I'm going to put feet on. Whoa, wait a minute now. I thought Jesus was going to do all my fighting for me. You know, I thought my church was going to take care of me and some things. Well, that's all good and well, right? But who's going to stand in front of God Almighty for you? You're not going to drag me. I'm going to like, no, I didn't say that. We can point at the Word of God and say, this is what you taught me, rightly divided. This is how I'm going to stand. And it's very, very important. He says, finally, brethren, based on it is protective armor to put on your soul in order to allow you to go out and do combat on a day-to-day basis and gain the victory in your experience that you have in a position in Christ. Every one of us has got a position in Christ. Every one of us can put this armor on and know what to do based on your experience. You know, we train our young military, don't we? We train them for specific jobs. Now, if you pulled that one guy out and put him over here to do another job, let's pick on a soldier for a minute. A soldier is a soldier. Don't matter if you're a cook or you're an infantryman, period. Other branches, you know, you can be a sailor, but you're not going to sail the seven seas. You know what I mean? Or you can be a Marine, or you're not going to storm the beaches all the time. You know, you got to ride a boat. You know, but a soldier is a soldier. They train you with a pistol. They train you with a weapon, and you're going to use it no matter what. You got it by your side. So if that tank breaks down, guess what you are? You're a foot soldier. If you're not cooking today, you're going to be in the field. You know what, with me? And then there's mortarmen and specific jobs that you do. So if you take a mortarman out and put him over here in transportation, can he drive a Jeep? But would he know what to do with that Jeep as far as inspections and things like that? No. So he has to be trained. So based on that experience, we have what we need to do doctrinal-wise. With me? We know who we are in Christ and some things. He says, finally, my brethren, now by the way, the new versions leaves out finally, and puts my brethren. But the reason Paul puts that in there, because of the verses we just went over in chapter 5 and the beginning of 6, as he distributed the saints out into different groups. Remember what they were? Wives, husbands, children, parents, servants, masters. Now he says, filing my... What's he doing here? Yeah, he's bringing them back under subjection. He's gathering everybody back into one group again. He divided them up, and now he's gathering them back into one group, and he dresses the whole bunch of them at one time. And the reason that is important is because they're going to face battles. They're going to face, you know, wives, husbands, children, fathers. Every member of the body of Christ is in a battle, guys. And it's not just for some, but it's for all. I shared this before, and I'll say it again. It saddens me over 24 years or plus that I've witnessed people that would stand here and proclaim the gospel truths of the grace of God that no longer does that. Because there's a battle out there. They get tired. They get worried. You don't think I do? That's my wife sometimes. You know, that I have so much on my plate, you know, with you, you know, praying for you guys, thinking about you guys. I got to stay one step ahead of you guys. You know that? Because some of you are very smart. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some of you don't take my words to be gospel truth. You take the Word of God. And you believe the Word of God over any preacher. You with me? And you're just like, it's a battle there. You know, there's some days I don't want to do this. You know, I already work 6 days a week as it is. Now you want me to work seven? I thought I was supposed to rest on seven. And we find out what's Sabbath day. Saturday. Who rests on Saturday in the body of Christ? Honestly. Do you? Well, some of us retired. Yeah. Some of us like, yeah. We got one out of 50. That's good. But anyway, finally, my brethren, be strong, be strengthened in the Lord and the power of His what? Might. Notice two things here. Be strong in the who? The Lord. Notice what he does not say. There you go. All right, that's what we're getting to. Most of the time you will hear somebody say that we should be strong in the Lord is to be strong by his help. Lord, help me get me through this. You know, I used Jesus Christ as a crutch in my younger days. Lord, get me through this. I won't do it again. He knew I was a big old liar. Next week, I had $200 in my pocket. Guess where it went? Nightlife. Lived for the world. Didn't matter. People loved to see me coming. Seriously. You know, and I'd be like, oh, Lord, just get me through this one more time. I used him as a crutch. I knew who he was. You know, I'm asking, why was he helping me out in that situation? He wasn't. But he knew who I was in him, but I didn't realize who I was in him. Until I started studying the Word of God, rightly divided, and I'm like, whoa, this is some real stuff, guys. This ain't make-believe. And most of the time you hear someone say that about hell. Let the Lord come along and help you be strong. For example, he says, strengthened by His Spirit in where? The inner man. Inner man. That means that the Spirit of God comes along and He gives you strength to you. How does the Spirit of God comes along today? Through the TV channel. Right? They just buried a guy that the world lifted up, thought he was the you know, Pope of the Baptist Convention. I don't know who it was. But, you know, they praised Billy Graham, didn't they? You know, they lifted him up. Have you ever listened to some of the things he compromised about? It's not too pleasant. You know, you're going to hear that in a message down in May coming up. This verse does not say, come along and by the Lord's help be strong. It don't say that. But come on. By the Lord's, it says be strong where?
In the Lord.
In other words, be strong in the position you have in who? Christ. You have a position in Christ. Christ's death became your death. Christ's burial became your burial. Christ's resurrection became your resurrection. Positionally, His death became your death. That's why by one Spirit you are baptized into who? Christ. See, He positionally puts you in those things that like, whoa, I'm there with Him. He's there with me. And in Christ, he says, be strong, but don't be strong out over here. Be strong in who? Don't be strong that I'm going to go home and put brakes on that car today or finish painting with that toothbrush I was sharing with you earlier. You know, that's flesh, right? That I'm be strong. But if I'm strong in Christ, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability for the one I love, right? I don't want the brakes to go out on the car. You know, that type of thing. So I'm going to do some things. But I'm not going to do it over here with the help. I'm doing it because I'm in Christ and he's in me. The most important two words in defining what Christianity is and what a believer is are two words: in Christ. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. You with me? And when you're in Christ, that really tells you what Christianity is. And when you study the Word of God, that really makes things even better. That's the one of the best definitions of what a believer is and what Christianity is all about, because it has to do with where you're at in Christ. Not in yourself, but in who? Listen, when I've shared this before and I'll say it again. When you trust Christ Jesus died for your sins, you almost get an evangelist message to this all the time. He bought you, didn't he? He took that blood and paid that sin debt that you and I could never do. So that puts you in who?
Christ.
He bought you. You're no longer yours. Have you ever thought about that? Have you really sat down and say, I'm not my own anymore. Christ bought me and paid for me.
Can someone be saved and not know it?
Well, it's according to what did they hear? What did they hear to be saved? Because as many Bibles are out there, as many denominations out there, I believe 90% or more will tell you a gospel that tells you to be saved that might not line up with what Paul's gospel is. And guess what? You may think you're saved. But I do believe this. If you trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, you heard, faith coming from hearing, hearing the word of God, that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, and you trust that here, not up here, but it got down in your soul, it made your spirit quicken and brought you alive, and you're saved. Then you might listen to Aunt Nell, you know, or Uncle
Fudd,
and you know, and they're like, oh yeah, that's great, but now you got to do this. And you can ignorantly go do that, thinking, well, this is what I told them. Listen, I myself as witness to a lot of people that gave them a clear gospel presentation, and they're like, I want to believe that. And you praise God, hallelujah, you're a member of the body of Christ. And a couple weeks later, a month later, hey, I'm going to get baptized. And you're like, who told you that? You're going in the priesthood. You're becoming a Jewish priest. No, my aunt so-and-so told me on it. I'm like, okay, you need to study out baptism. You know, it kind of hurt my heart because you heard a clear gospel presentation. Listen, I believe in baptism. Don't get me wrong. It's by one spirit. Okay? Okay? And we're all baptized. That's a dry baptism. The first baptism ever recorded in the Bible, Paul wrote it down in Corinthians chapter 10. And they was baptizing to Moses. Who got wet?
The Egyptians.
That was the very first dry baptism. They walked on dry land and water got over the Egyptians and it flooded them and killed them. Judgment. But they walked in, they was baptized into who?
Moses.
You're baptized into who?
Christ.
See what I'm talking about? But there's a religious system out there. This right here, Exodus 19, for the nation of Israel, they had to be baptized to go into priesthood. So I watch all my cousins and family members, you know, going down riverbanks and, you know, and all that stuff and swimming holes. And I'm like, wow, there's a lot of Jewish priests going out there today.
Yeah.
You know? And God's not doing that today. I like what the old preacher said down south. You can be baptized to tadpoles, know your social security number, and it ain't going to get you saved. You want to be washed? You washed where? In the blood.
The word.
In the blood. Washing the word. Be strong in the Lord. You are to be strong in what God has made you in who? You got God the Father, and you got God the Son, and He's made you strong in who? His Son, Christ. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Listen, I'm not being ugly for anything. Many of us have been down that road 1,001 times. You know, I can pick on my brother. He's probably going to listen to this later. Every church he joined, he had to be baptized. I said, every church. You know, I'm like, I thought the ones that I was a part of, you carried a letter with you. You know what I mean? And they accepted that letter. But no. But anyway, I've got a letter today. And I'm in Christ by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what matters. And I do believe it takes more of a person to stand on that faith of what Christ did for me, not what I did for Him. Look what I'm going to show the world. No, it's what He did for me, and you stand on that and stand firm. This is what this is all about. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 14, it talks about, I'm not going to read all that, but it's referring back, if you can read it later, it's referring back to, He is saying, be strong, but be strong in the Lord. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, in whom we have redemption. We are accepted in the blood, beloved, according to the Father who has chosen us in Him. And then it says, in Him over and over again. Everything we have is right there in Christ. And so where are you going to get your strength from, guys? I know, I'm going to join a gym. I'm going to get strong. Many of y'all saw how strong I was, how really weak I was, you know. And some, you know, I joined the gym to get strengthened in what? My inner man? No. To get strength where? The outer man. Then the flesh. I want to be flexible. You know, I sit behind many of you sit behind a desk for hours. I sit behind a wheel desk. And sometimes I catch myself 2.5 hours later, I haven't stopped to walk around. Why? I want to get home, not damn. You're driving. But that's not healthy. So you want to be exercising stuff. They said, we are accepted in blood. Everything we have is right there. So what are we going to be strengthening? My strength is not in me. My strength is in who? In Him. My all in all is all there. In your flesh, it's all about me. Look what I'm doing. I've had people over the years, you build a nice church. You know, you got a, it ain't me, guys. It's the Lord's church. And you're part of the body of Christ. This is your church. I'm just the one that comes up here and gets spit at all the time. No, just joking. You know, I'm just the one that chose to be up here to be the leader of this. You know, and I appreciate that. But listen, this is your church. We don't have boards, you know, that type of thing. When I got an issue, I got problems, who do I come to? I come to all of you, don't I? You know, I make it known to you. And now by His grace, the message of grace, our strength comes from our position in Christ. This is where it all comes from. Think about this for a minute. Even after you've been saved for years and years and years, even after you come to an understanding of all the truths in the book of Ephesians, you still have to say that there is no strength at all in me. I can only be strong where?
Right.
You know, I shared before, this is the second time in 13 years that we've been over the book of Ephesians. I'm stronger today than I was 13 years ago, but I still can't say it's me. I can't do it. It's Christ in me doing it. 2 Timothy 2, 1, you was there. It says, therefore, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 2 Timothy 2, 1 says this verse, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's it, isn't it? In who? Be strong where? This is the message of grace. Be strong in all that God can accomplish for you for the cross work of Christ. We point at the cross all the time. You know, this down here, if you got a timeline, the cross, you find it in Corinthians. I'm back up here. Can you read that? Romans. Thank you. Romans. Corinthians. Galatians. It's all about faith. Then the church that we're talking about, the church, the body of Christ, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and shows you about the love. Then you talk about the coming, Thessalonians, that's our hope. Then you got the congregation, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, that's fellowship. All that's laid out there for us. And you are there. You want some strength? You want some power? You want some liberty? You know what? You have it right there. You have it right there. And don't it feel more genuine if you really think about it when it comes from the inner man and comes from the Word of God and comes from the Lord than it just me? Amen. You know, this is temporal, guys. Many of us are falling apart on me. Many of us are dying. Many of us are, you know, we're grasping for life and want to live. And I'm thinking, what's far better? It's easy for me to say right now because there's some things I'm not going through that some of you may go be going through. You know, I feel like I'm okay, but inside I'm dying just like everybody else. You know, I'm aging just like everybody else. There's going to come a time that we have to really just say, okay, you know, I can't live forever. It's been a good life. How many would want to go back to 1957? Or 1961, or 1968, and live that again. So, some of us, yeah. Because why? You was 20 years younger. You was 30 years younger. Yeah, I was live and vibrant. But not knowing what you know now, though.
Well, we gotta know what we know.
But see, yeah. Who wouldn't want to go back?
Mistakes.
Yeah, but see, I guarantee you, many of us make the same mistakes we did later.
Sure, probably different ones.
Probably different ones. So you think about that. You think about, and I know, you know, I tell my wife all the time, you know, we got one of those antennas, I'm climbing up on that pole. And Sherry goes the other day, she said, I don't want you climbing up that pole without me being here, because if you fall, you know, who's going? I said, I'll just die. She goes, oh, that's horrible to say. I said, well, you know, you can fall and you can be there and still die. You know, but you know, that's the way I am, guys. I know it probably not what she wants to hear, but she knows what I'm talking about overall. And what does he call it when you're selfish? Is I want to be here with her. I want to be here with the kids. I want to be, you know what I mean? It may be time to say, I got everything in Christ. That's what I'm getting at. I got everything in Him. Everything. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 right quick. Let's see if we wrap it up on this verse here. Chapter 15, verse 9. For I am, 1 Corinthians 15. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. Now, think about that for a second. He's beating himself up, isn't he? Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, man, I held the cloak for people to stone. Who?
Stephen.
I persecuted the church. Paul says he profited in that religion. Now, you don't know religions out there that profits off of you today, do you? It ain't no difference, guys. Profit in that religion. So he's saying, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was what? With me. That is being strong in the Lord and being strong in the grace that is in who? Christ Jesus. And if you understand what he's saying there, it is not just allowing the Lord to help you, but it is you taking your stand in what you have in Christ and who you are in Christ, and that's what you get your strength from. That's pretty powerful. You know, it's not I, but who? Christ. You know, verses after verses. It's not I. So you need to know, when we turn back to Ephesians, you are strong. You are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And next lesson, we're going to break down those sections a little bit about that, because there's a lot to do with this warfare. Okay.
Church of God, he's talking about here. That's the little flock that he was persecuting.
Absolutely, because he wasn't saved yet.
And that was the Holy Spirit. So he blasphemed the Holy Spirit there in that spot.
Yeah. Yep. Now we break that down as far as, you know, three strikes, as Leon was sharing. You know, the first strike in baseball, you get four foul balls and you're out, right? Remember, you ever played that when you was a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we used to play in baseball. We did four foul balls and you're out. Like, huh? Made the game go, because you can sit there and hit foul balls. What? But anyway, how many strikes you get in baseball? Okay. When Lord God the Father sent Jesus Christ Himself. Thank you. God the Father sent John the Baptist Himself to be a forerunner of Jesus. He was speaking for God the Father. What did they do to Him?
Killed Him.
Strike one. God the Son, Lord Jesus Christ. We have no king but who?
Caesar.
What did they do to Him?
Killed Him.
Strike two. Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost. What did they do to him?
Killed him.
Strike three, the nation Israel is fallen. Acts chapter 7 and 8, you see them falling. That's why Paul writes, have they stumbled that they should fall? Where did the nation Israel stumble at? God told him he's going to put a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. This ain't a mystery, guys. A lot of people will argue back and forth, said, oh, the cross is a mystery, that he's going to die, bury, and rise again. No, it's not. That's Genesis 3:15. It's always been there. So they stumbled at the cross, but did they fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, Romans chapter 11, where they do fall. Remember the parable of the fig tree. I'm refreshing your mind a little bit. The Lord wanted to cut it down. And they said, no, let us dung it for 1 year. And if it don't bring fruit, then you can cut it down. The axe, John the Baptist says the axe is at the root. He's cutting that tree down, John the Baptist was. There was no fruit there in the nation of Israel. So they continue. 1 year after the cross is the fall of Israel. Now, it may seem like eternity when you're studying the book of Acts from chapter 1 to chapter 8. You know what I mean? It may, gosh, it's just 1 year. 1 year, that fig tree, and a fig tree is a representation of the religious life system of the nation Israel. You have four trees there. Olive, fig, a bramble, and the vine. Okay, each one of those are representative of Jesus, God's in that true nation Israel. They're supposed to be the true vine. The fig tree is the religious system. What did Adam do and Eve do after they sinned? They covered themselves with what? Religion. They hid behind religion. You don't do that today, or never have done that, have you? You're fooling yourself. Religion. But that fig tree was supposed to have been their religious system out there and supposed to be produce fruit. It didn't, guys. But today you got people want to reverse this and say they are producing fruit, become part of that system. And God's not doing that today. But rather through their fall, so they do fall. Salvation's come to who? The Gentiles. And today, in the dispensation of grace, everybody's down here on the bottom. Everybody is equal.
Ground is level.
Ground is level. They always say ground is level at the cross, that type of thing. Listen, God's not a respecter of persons today. If you think He respects Walt more than He does Barb, then you got a funny thing coming, because I want what one of them wants, God. You know what I'm talking about? I want to be a respecter. I want to be respected. That's the flesh. God says, I'm not a respecter person. Everybody's a sinner. You come to my standards. I don't drop this standard. Once you come to his standard, you're saved. You get in the Word of God. You start studying the Word of God. Guess what? There's going to be some fruit in your life. Any other questions? I didn't mean to continue to preach. I get excited about that, man, because, you know, that's liberty. That's where you can find out, whoa, you know, yeah, I want to do good works. It's not for salvation, but it's because Christ is in me and I want to produce good works. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for Thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.